Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. We are here live, right here on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. God bless you all. I'm so happy to be with you guys again on another wonderful Saturday, because a sunny or whatever, because I don't know where you're, I don't know what your weather is like, where you're listening to me at, but this wonderful Saturday, and it is wonderful because we are yet in the land of the living. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because of my voice. I'm nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But if you're listening to me, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name, and that is a reason to give God the praise. Amen. So welcome to the show on today. I welcome everybody, amen, in their respective places. On today, I want to give first giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name. Giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. And giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, amen, amen, Apostle Cook, amen, God bless you in Jesus' name, and to all of the Spirit Alive family, amen, bishops, pastors, whatever title you might have, I salute you in Jesus' name, and I honor you on today in your respective places in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we are talking about a very, very, very powerful topic today. But the Lord just brought it back to my memory. The Lord just brought it to my remembrance. Hold on, y'all. Before I jump into the topic, I want to say happy early wedding anniversary to my mother and my father. They are celebrating on the 28th, they will be celebrating, I think it's 27 years, somewhere in there. Amen. I can't keep up no more. but happy anniversary to Pastor and First Lady Tuggle. May the Lord bless y'all to have many more years together in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's topic. On today, we are dealing with a powerful, powerful topic today, and it's for everybody. It is for the unsaved, and it is for the saved. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, if it's dealing with the unsaved, how is it dealing with the saved? Because we have to do the same thing, just in a different way. The title of this topic is Pursue the Anointing. Pursue the anointing. God gave me this topic when I was reading the Word of God. And Adam, he began to say, Adam, as I was reading, he kept saying, pursue the anointing. I'm like, Lord, what are you talking about? And he took me to two scriptures, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. Show me what pursuing the anointing on both sides, sinner and saint. Amen. A lot of us, whether you be saint or sinner, A lot of us have, we all have lives. We all have things to do in our life. Life can be very consuming. The things that we have to deal with, if you are married, you have a husband or you have a wife to take care of, and then you might, in that marriage, you might have children, young children, teenage children, older children, whatever, grandchildren, whatever it might be. But life can become very consuming. And a lot of times, as a saint of God, we choose sometimes to, some of us, and I'm not going to say all, but some of us choose to put the works of God on the back burner sometimes because we got this to deal with, we got that to deal with, and we got that over there, and we got this, we got our family over here. But we must take the time to pursue the anointing. This is for the saved. Now for the sinner, the Lord showed me that to pursue the anointing, you have to want what God has for you. You have to pursue it. It's just like if somebody gives you $1 million, they say, here, I'm going to give you $1 million. You have to take it. You have to accept it. And there's a lot of people that are outside of the church looking in, and they're like, wait a minute, if I pursue this, my life is going to change. I won't have happiness. I won't be able to enjoy myself and all this stuff. So that's why some people they don't come to the Lord because they are comfortable where they are. Some of them. I'm not going to say all, but some are. And then there are some that are trying to get to that place in God and trying to pursue. And it's hard for them to pursue because they do not have the power to fight with. Now, when we look at the word anointing, a lot of preachers, a lot of these New Age preachers get the word anointing confused. It's very bad to say. But a lot of young preachers, they get the anointing of God confused with gifts. They think because a person has a gift, they have an anointing. No. The Bible says gifts and callings come without repentance, which means you can have a gift to preach, you can have a gift to sing, you can have a gift to direct, you can have a gift to do anything, you can have a gift to play the drums, but in that gift, is the anointing in that gift, which is the anointing is the power of God, the drawing power of God. It is the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It is not the gift. It is not the run. It is not the shout. It is not how fast you run around the church. Just because a person praises the Lord does not mean that they have the anointing. Now, they might be underneath the presence of God because God's presence is there. But just because, and I mean the, when I say the anointing, I mean the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And in the pursuit of the anointing, we as saints of God must pursue the anointing every day. We must pursue it. Once we get it on the inside of us, once we get the Holy Ghost, we have to pursue it. We have to pursue the Holy Ghost every day. When your feet hit the floor, you must pursue the anointing every day to stay in the race, because there is a devil out there that tries to come and devour anybody that he can. The Bible lets us know that he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy us. And he didn't come to steal, kill, and to destroy the unsaved. It didn't say he comes to steal, kill, and destroy the saved. He said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It just means anybody. It didn't give a specific person. It didn't give a specific gender. It didn't give a specific race. He'll destroy anybody that he can. The Bible says if he could fool the very elect, he would. What does that tell us? That we must be in pursuit of the anointing. Yes, we have life going on, but we must be in the pursuit of God. Now, I'm going to take you to two scriptures to show you what God is trying to say in pursuing the anointing. These are two different parts, but it's good for both, sinner and saint. Amen? I'm going to go to Psalm first. The first one I'm going to go to is Psalms 23, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I want you to stay focused on this verse right here, verse number 5. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What this is trying to tell us here, and this is for the verse number 5 is for the saved and the unsaved. It lets the unsaved know if you draw nigh unto God and you get this Holy Ghost and you pursue what God has for you, this is what will happen. This is verse 5 and verse 6 will happen for you. And those that are saved, you already know that if you stay in God, goodness and mercy shall follow you. Blessings shall follow you. Amen. But in verse number 5, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Before God placed his anointing on you, we had a cup. We were born with a spiritual cup. And we used a lot of worldly things that to put into this cup, which is our spiritual man. We used a lot of things we were in pursuit of a lot of things to fulfill that empty and void place in our spiritual walk when we didn't even have a walk with God then. Before we got saved, we were empty. We were empty. And we were pursuing every area of our life. We were pursuing something other than Jesus Christ at the time. And I don't know everybody's story, but I do know this. Everybody has a pursuit of God one time in their life. That story that you have before you found what you have now. That pursuit, before you found what you have now, that's better than anything that you've ever inspired to be, ever tried to go after. What you have now is better than all of that. It's Jesus on the inside. That's why the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Why? Because that's greater than anything out there in the world. And before we found that grace, before we came into the mindset of, "I need that," we pursued everything that we could, and we put it in our cup, and we put it in our spirit, and we let anything and everything go. But when we came until when we came into the mindset of, okay, I need to change. I need to change. There's something not right. The drugs ain't working. The liquor ain't working. The women ain't working. The men ain't working. This ain't working. That ain't working. Let me try Jesus. And then once we got a taste, because the Bible says, oh, taste and see, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Once we got a taste of Jesus, it was good. And once we tasted of it, we was like, wait a minute. I'm going to need to try that again. And we tasted more. And we tasted more. And we tasted more. And then as soon as we tasted enough, we were in pursuit of it. We got the Holy Ghost. Now we're in pursuit of a lifestyle. Now we're in pursuit of Jesus. And our mindset changed, and we said, Lord, wherever you see to send me, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. This is the pursuit of the anointing. This was the pursuit of the anointing. And the first day you got saved, we was on cloud, at least I was. I was on cloud nine. And as years went on, see, this is when, see, the same, my father told me before I got married, whatever you do, he told all of us, all of his children, all of his boys, we had my sister, he didn't tell her that, but he told all of his boys, when you get married, whatever you did to get that woman, you got to continue to do to keep that woman. The same thing that you did to pursue the Holy Ghost, the same thing that you did to pursue, to fulfill that emptiness in your life, you have to keep doing it every day. And it makes sense. Now, in Luke chapter number 7, this is the pursuit that we must do, I want you to see in this text, in Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 48, I want you to see the pursuit of Mary. I want you to see the pursuit that she has. And this is the same pursuit, the humbleness that she had. When you pursue the anointing, you have to be humble. When you pursue the anointing, you have to know that you know what you're going after is holy. It's righteous. It's better than anything. No doubt in my mind. There is no doubt in my mind that this pursuit of this anointing, of this Holy Ghost, of this treasure, because that's what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is a treasure that the devil is going to try to come and take from you. He wants to take your anointing. He wants to take everything that God's got for you. But it's up to us to fight for it. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. Before I read this verse, I want to get this out of me before I read this verse, because this is what God has put inside of me right now. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it is something that is given by God from the kingdom of God. This is why the scripture says the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. And sometimes in our life, we tend to get lax. And I'm talking about saints of God. We tend to get lax. Where we was praying three times a day, We don't pray 3 times a day anymore. And as soon as we break that cord of what we did on a day-to-day basis to get it, to get that Holy Ghost, to get that anointing, to get that new level in God, as soon as we break that cord of doing what we were doing on a day-to-day basis to get to that level, don't you know the devil eases his way in and slowly takes from us. Slowly but surely, he takes. And he doesn't do it fast. He does it slow. Because in the verse, in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. It doesn't say he destroys first. He steals. He takes from us slowly. And it's a slow kill when he takes from us. When we blind to the fact that, hey, I got to go to work, so I ain't got time to beat my body. Don't you know that that's a blind side? You blinding yourself to the fact. You know full well, we know full well that we should get up in the morning and give God to pursue God every day. And there's the word of God to pursue him. There's prayer, there's fasting, there's prayer. We have all type of weaponry to pursue God and what he wants us to do. And what he wants us to do with the anointing that he has given us. The Bible lets us know that the harvest is ripe, but the labors are few. What does that mean? The labors, the harvest is ripe. There are people out here that need to know about Jesus. And it is up to you and I that have the light. Because Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And if Jesus was the light of the world while he was on the earth, then what does that make us? That makes us, if we have the greater on the inside of us, which is Jesus on the inside, then we are the light of the world. We are doing the work of God. And the anointing, it is the anointing that destroys the very yoke. The Bible says one plants, one watereth, but God gives the increase. What does that mean? One planteth. When they watch your life, you are planting a seed in them. When they say, and I know that they don't mind, Bishop Carver, man, Bishop Carver, he's a great man of God. He's a great man. That's a man of God right there. Amen. That's the Apostle Cook. That's a great woman of God right there. When they see that, they know. They ain't like me. I had one of my friends, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about. I had one of my friends when I was in high school, middle school, because we grew up from elementary all the way up to high school. But I was in the hallway at my middle school one time, and we were passing through classes. And my best friend, Lamont Turner, and we were outside passing through the classrooms and through passing period, and we ran into one of our friends, and all three of us were talking, and my friend, my other friend, was inviting both of us to go drink with him and to go party with him. Now, we in middle school. Now, first of all, I don't know where you got that from, but but he said, I want to go, party and da-da-da-da-da, and whatever. And my best friend, Lamont, he said, well, I'll go, but but he ain't going with you. And he was talking about me. And he said, well, Adam, why not? He said, because I ain't even get a word out. He said, because he's saved. He ain't going to that. Well, I'm saved too. I'm saved. No. No. My friend Lamar said no. He's a different type of saved. He don't do all that. Now, he spoke for me. I ain't get a word out. And he was like, man, my other friend that was inviting us to this party, he said, man, I'm saved too. And I, you know, I drink, I smoke, and da-da-da-da-da, and da. And my best friend finally let me get a word out. I said, bro, I don't do that because, number one, I'm holy, saved and sanctified. I don't do that. Now, if you want to go, I said, but since you invited me, I'm going to have to decline on that. But I'm going to be nice. And I'm going to invite you to church with me. Since you invited me to that, I'm going to nicely decline that. But I'm going to invite you to come and get drunk with me. Because you can get drunk in the Holy Ghost. You can do that. You can get drunk in the Holy Ghost. You can get drunk in the Holy Ghost and you get high in the Holy Ghost. And what I mean by getting drunk and getting high, I'm not talking about this natural stuff. Because the Lord can take you on a highway you won't have. The Lord can get you so drunk in him that you'll have a spiritual hangover, and that spiritual hangover will be so greater than that natural hangover. You won't have a headache. You'll feel so much joy when you get up. I have been inside services where the Spirit of the Lord, where the Shekinah glory was so high that I was staggering to the point that service was over, and I went out the door speaking in tongues, got in the car speaking in tongues. Service was over. I'm staggering. They helping me down to the car because I'm speaking so much. That's the pursuit that we need. But getting back to my thought here, that my best friend saw the anointing in me. And I asked him, I said, Lamont, why wouldn't you let me get a word out? I said, I can defend myself. You know, I can talk for myself, you know. He said, I know you can. But he said, I said that because you are the reason why I am alive today. I said, what do you mean? He said, when I need to get a prayer through, he said, I'm not as close to God as you are. And when I need to get a prayer through, I come to you because I know you can get a prayer through. He said, I've watched you, and you've been my best friend. You've helped me through a lot of situations using the word of God and using your life. He said, you are my best friend because of that. And I remember even when we grew up as adults, passed in 2013. But before he passed, the week before he passed, he called me and said, Adam, I want to give my life to God. I want to get saved. I want to go down in Jesus' name. And he said, the only person I thought of first was you. And he said, I want Pop to baptize. He was talking about my father. He said, I want your father to baptize me. He said, I couldn't think of nobody else. He said, the first person that came to mind, he said, he was like, when I started talking to God and asking him to deliver me, he said I asked God to show me somebody that could help me. The first person that came to my mind was you. And I said, I'm grateful and I'm honored. And I told him what to do. And so in that pursuit, we must understand that pursuing the anointing of God is great. Now, I want to say this. Now, I want to get this out of the way. I said it earlier that some people confuse the anointing for gifts and callings. And that ain't right. Just because somebody has a gift, just because somebody has a calling, just because somebody can preach good, sound good, does not mean that they have an anointing behind them. Amen. This is why, and for the person that is saved, you must pursue the anointing every day. You might say, well, why must I pursue the anointing every day? I got the anointing. I got to grow in him. Mm-hmm. Because there's higher heights and deeper depths in God. And if you pursue the anointing helps you to fight off the enemy. With great levels comes great responsibility. I remember the old cartoon called Spider-Man. And Peter Parker's uncle, he said, with great power comes great responsibility. With the anointing of God, with the Holy Ghost, it's anything dealing with God, with great power, which is the Holy Ghost, is a great, the Holy Ghost is great to have. But it comes with great responsibility. A person can lose out on what they have if they allow the enemy to take it from them, if they allow life to take it from them, if they allow their flesh to take it from them. Come on now, because it ain't always the devil. Sometimes we just give it up. And I'm going to show you something. Sometimes if we get mad at the pastor, I didn't like what he preached. I'm just going to get, no, I ain't going back to that. Did you see sister so-and-so? Did you see brother so-and-so lead praise service today? Pastor should have called me. You know, I'm better than that. You can lose that anointing because God does not dwell in an unclean place. God's spirit will not dwell in an unclean place. It don't do it. It won't work. The reason why we are to pursue the anointing every day, because we got a battle, we got to fight. See, the Lord is taking this a different way. We have a battle that we have to fight every single day. We got a battle. We got to fight. Let me take you to, I know I was going to read in the book of Luke, but the Lord is taking this another way. And I'm going to show you, we got a battle that we got to fight. I quoted the scripture, the kingdom of God suffers violence, the violent take it by force. That's the first part. That is the first warning of we have a fight on our hands. When you pursue the anointing, you got a fight on your hands. Even when you get saved, you have a fight on your hands. And we got some of these young preachers, these new age preachers, giving people the Holy Ghost. You can't give the Holy Ghost to nobody. Oh, yeah, bro, you saved. Hello. You cannot give something that you did not even put in the word of God. You didn't put this in the word of God. If they did not receive it the way the Bible says, because there's some preachers that will, look, okay. See, the Lord told me to go. Now I'm just going to go with the flow of the Holy Ghost here. I heard a preacher say one time that, well, you know, we got this new age of young people, and I'm a young person. I'm still young. And I watch these young people and middle-aged people and older people. I watch this new age of church, and they blend in with the world because they trying to draw in people. And they drawing in people for the wrong reasons. I'm gonna tell you that now. They drawing in people. These young new preachers are not drawing in people because of their soul. They drawing in people because of their money. They don't care nothing about your soul. I'm sorry. They don't care nothing about your soul. Because if they did, they would tell you, you got to come out of that mess. You got to come out of that sin. And don't you know, if you, look, in pursuing the anointing, yes, you can have a gift to preach. And this is why I do not let people, this is why you might see me, you might hear me sometime have guests on the show. But do you know, most of the time I don't have guests on the show, you know why? Because I make sure, because when God blessed me with this, when God said, Adam, go do this ministry, I made it my personal mission to let God know, hey, God, whatever you have me do on this station, I'm going to protect whatever word that said on this, given from this show. Now, I'm not speaking for Bishop Carver. I'm not speaking for nobody else. Not saying that they're speaking bad. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, every word that is said, I'm going to make sure, and I'm going to make it my God-given job to make sure everything that has come out of the summit is said by God, and that I got scripture to back it up. And that I don't say nothing off the top of my head to try to please somebody's flesh. Because we got to kill the flesh. Let God be exalted and let the flesh die. I'm here to kill me a devil today. I'm going to kill me a devil today. I'm going to throw, since my former pastor, since I'm out here at the building that I'm at is right on Michigan Road. I'm going to throw him out here on Michigan Road and let the cars run over. Amen. That's what my pastor used to say. And so, amen. But I want to read you in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. This is why God gave us warning. God gave us warning that we would have a fight on our hands when we, as people of God, as the sinner man, we're going to have a fight on our hands. Ones that are not in Christ and you try to pursue Christ, you're going to have a fight on your hands. And once you get in Christ, you're definitely going to have a fight on your hands. Because with great power comes great responsibility. There's new levels in God. And it's great. Once you get to those new levels, because everybody's asking for the new levels in God and new and promotions and everything else, but they don't see the problem. They don't see the problem that it comes with. Or maybe they do and they ignore it. With everything that God blesses us with. Now, it's good to get a blessing from God, but you got to be equipped to be able to handle it. We all have to be equipped to be able to handle what God gives us. I don't care if it's a car, it's a blessing, and it's to be used for the work of God. I don't care if it's a house, it's a blessing, and it's supposed to be used for the work of God. You might, but Brother Adam, this is my new car. This is my, I done seen people get new cars. I done seen people pray for new cars. In my life, in my time of walking with God, I have seen people get pray for new cars and God bless them with it. And they say, oh, Lord, if you bless me with this car, I'm going to pick up the saints of God and I'm going to take them to church. And every time the church door is open, I'm going to be there. Mm-mm. And then A week go by. They doing what they said they was gonna do. Cause they all happy and excited. Got the new car and all that. Then let it go a month. They still a little bit excited, you know. 2 months go. 3 months. 4 months. They bowed out the door. They don't want to pick up nobody. They don't want to do this for the Lord. They don't. And then I've seen people go so far as, I'm tired. I don't need to go to church today. I'm tired. You know, I've been working all week long. The devil is alive. The Lord did not make you tired. That job made you tired. The Lord did not make you tired. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what the Lord is talking about. The Lord blesses us with stuff that we are not equipped for. We spend more time working on the blessing that God gives us instead of working for the Lord. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, and then after I read this, I'm going to get some comments from the Spirit of Life family. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the first warning. That's a warning right there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why do we got to be strong? I mean, the Lord didn't just say it just to say it. That's a warning. And then in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. This is a saint of God. This is not a sinner, because a sinner don't have the armor. Sinner don't have the Holy Ghost. This is a person that has the Holy Ghost, that has the anointing. The anointing is the power of God. The anointing is the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a warning too. This is letting us know what we got to fight against. Flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not warring against flesh and blood. My fight is not against Bishop Cook. My fight is not against Bishop Carver. My fight is not against Apostle Flowers. My fight is not against, No. And against man. But it's against the rulers of darkness in high places. It's against the principalities. It's against the powers. That's what my fight is against. And the Lord is warning us, telling us, when we're in pursuit of the anointing of God, once we get in the pursuit and in position to pursue, the fight is on. My father in this, my father used to sing with his friend, Pastor Barney, Pastor Reginald Barney. They used to sing "The Fight Is On," an old song, old gospel song. "The Fight Is On." I don't know all the words, so I ain't gonna try to sing it in there. But the title of that song was "The Fight Is On." And it was a war song. It was a spiritual war song. But once you pursue the anointing, any time, I don't care if it's day or night, you got a fight on your hands. Because the devil is going to try to take away that anointing and make it seem like you got the anointing, but you really don't. You lost it. Because there's some people that are fired. There are some people that are in God that think, well, they think that they're in God, and they're really not there in God like they used to be. And they're moving on emotion. They're shouting off of emotion. They're doing it off of tradition. They're doing it off of religion. They go to church, they shout a little bit, they hear the word, they go home, it's Sunday, I get up, go to church, shout a little bit, hear the word, pray, meditate on the word, go back home, meditate on the word on the way home, and then Monday, I'm still meditating. Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm about gone. But if there was a pursuit happening every day, then you wouldn't be gone. You wouldn't be half the person. Because the Bible says, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. There are still work to be done in us. We have not made it to perfection. That's why we need to pursue the anointing. We won't be perfected until we make it to heaven. But the pursuit while we're on earth should always be there. Daniel pursued God. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to stop right now. Let me get some comments from Spirit Alive Family. Anybody have a comment in Jesus' name? Because I can go on and on. Anybody that has a comment?
Praise the Lord, man. It's Togo. How are you, man of God?
Praise the Lord. I'm good, sir.
I have a comment. And one
yes,
of the
sir.
Comments is that many people mistake the gift of the Holy Spirit with the operations or manifestations of that gift. Because
yes.
when we read in 1 Corinthians, when we read about the gifts, it
mm-hmm.
what gifts is in italics in the New mm-hmm. King James Version. It's in italics because they added it. And so when we think about the gift, it is the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit has the power. It gives you the ability to operate mm-hmm. all of the manifestations or operations of that gift, which are speaking
mm-hmm.
in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing, right? And so now you have this power, and the devil is trying to talk you out of it. So he'll use something like a mistranslation or a misunderstanding of a translation in order to make you believe that only certain people can do certain things using the power of the Holy Spirit. Not understanding that the power of the Holy Spirit is unlimited. The gift of
right.
the Holy Spirit has already been paid for at Calvary by Jesus Christ, right? So there are three
right.
scriptures I wanted to share. One is Psalm 3:3. It says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. And what that does is it adjusts our heart so that our heart disposition is toward God, right? And then God's promise to us is here in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, where it says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So when we know it's mm-hmm. God's faithfulness that establishes us and keeps us from evil, then we stop trying to play God and stop trying to do it ourselves and just trust God, just stay in that place.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture that I really wanted to share. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, where it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And what you said earlier at your teaching, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. We have to be pointing people back to God, knowing that God is going to make all that we do profitable, and God is going to bless it. And it is the blood of Christ that makes us righteous. It is the Holy Spirit within us that is perfect, that makes us the righteousness of God. So I just want to encourage you, keep on with your teaching. And I wanted to point those three scriptures out and to remind
yes,
people
sir.
That the Spirit is the power that you need to do anything that God gives you to do. Thank you, man of God.
Amen. Is there anybody else that wants to leave a comment? Amen and amen. When we pursue the anointing, it is good for us to keep, it's just, when we say pursue the anointing and you're saved, this is like, when I say pursue the anointing every day, don't let that fire go out. As we see in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, it talks about 10 versions, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. And God called them 5 wise and 5 foolish because the 5 wise took their lamps and they trimmed their lamps and they, and the fire in their lamps was burning bright. And the 5 foolish took no oil with them to keep their lamps burning. Amen. And when the light went out of their lamps, they asked the one, the 5 wise, hey, give us of your oil. Give us of your oil. But the 5 wise was wise enough to say, wait a minute, we only got enough for us. We cannot be like the 5 foolish versions, letting everything consume our time when we don't have time for the Lord to build ourselves, to keep our fire burning, to keep that anointing in our life. Because there are a lot of things that come in our life to try to consume that. Because when the bridegroom came, if we went back and read about the 10 virgins, these 5 foolish virgins, they didn't take no oil with them. And those lamps that were burning, burning bright was symbolic of the Holy Ghost. They let their fire go out. They let that anointing go out of them. And yes, you can operate in gifts. You can operate in gifts all day. But in operating in the gift, are people being drawn to God? Is people being saved? Because if they're not, the people that are doing that, you're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. If you're not living the life before man, you're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. That's what the Bible says. And this is why we need to keep the fire going. Because I remember I said when I first got into doing radio, the Lord showed me something while I was in church when I first got into radio. And this covers all types of ministry. When your spirit is not right, you need to sit down and readjust yourself in the spirit. This is why pastors should never let just anybody preach in their pulpits. Mm-hmm. You letting any wind and doctrine come and preach at your pulpits? You letting everybody sing in the choir and all that? Don't you know that that stuff brings spirits? And those spirits that are in the people, some of these preachers, they know that these people are in sin. And I mean, they didn't just, And when I say they're in sin, I'm not talking about they done coming off the streets drunk and they just started letting them work. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they say that they saved, But yet they dibble and dabbling in sin. And the pastor knows that they dibbling and dabbling in sin. They letting a member work in the church. They letting them. Now, there's a fine line between letting them, you know, you trying to draw them and trying to, you know, give them something to do, because I don't mind, it's the devil's workshop. But there's a split difference between letting somebody work to draw them and to keep them in God, and letting them do whatever, letting them do whatever work they do in the church, and you know that they dibble and dabble in the sin. You know this. It's all out there in the open. You can see it plain as day in the spirit. But you still let them work because they got a gift. They got a gift to sing. And they singing in the church, they directing in the church, they playing the drum. That stuff brings whatever spirit they have on them, it will spread throughout all of the church. That's why I made it my God-given mission. That when God gave me the ministry of to do radio, I was not letting any and everybody come on this show and say whatever they want. I'm not, because I'm held accountable. Because I don't want the spirit yet. You might say, well, this is radio. They can't see me. They ain't laying hands on me. Still transfer spirits. What you hear. There's certain gates that you have, there's all these gates that you have to protect, and one of them is your ear gate. But if I just let any, and I thank God for Bishop Cook, because Bishop Cook don't just let anybody on the radio anyway. Apostle Cook does not let anybody and everybody on the radio on this network. And my father and my former pastor taught me a very, very valuable lesson. When I was young in Christ, she would not let any and everybody sit in the pulpit. She wouldn't let any and everybody work in the church. If you knew that my father the same way, he don't let everybody come and preach. No. Uh-uh. Nope. I have literally seen my pastor, my former pastor, silence somebody because they were dibbling and dabbling in sin and still calling themselves saved. The Bible says, must we continue in sin that grace may abound, God forbid. Because the Bible lets us know that we must pursue. In Matthew chapter 6, verses, I believe it's 30 through 33, it lets us know that we must seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. These wind and doctrines that are coming up now, it's all about the pursuit of a new car, a new house, and they always prophesying, are you going to get that new car? Are you going to get that new house? You going to get that new business? You going to get, what about a stronger anointing in God? What about a better prayer life? A stronger prayer life? Stronger fasting life? They lean so much close to, now there's nothing wrong with receiving things in this world, because the Bible lets us know that he knows what you have need of. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. But he gave a balance in there. He said you would prosper as your soul prosper. And if your soul is not, then you prospering in the natural means nothing. There are a lot of people in Hollywood that is prospering naturally, and their spirit, man, is all jacked up. Jacked up from the flow up. Do you know why we see so much in Hollywood? And I'm using Hollywood because this is the best example I can give. In Hollywood, most tragedies in Hollywood, and the Lord showed me this, a lot of tragedies that happen in Hollywood, most of them happens because their spirit man is not right. And what I mean by not right, they have not found what they needed. We see in the music industry and in Hollywood, in the movie industry and all this stuff. Now, I'm not downing them. I'm not downing them because, you know, we were all once a sinner saved by grace. But you got to pursue the anointing. And a lot of people, not just in Hollywood, but that are on the earth, period, they're pursuing all of this stuff. And they're looking for life in all the wrong places. They think they'll find it in wealth. They think they'll find it in a man. They think they'll find it in a woman. And it's not so. The Bible lets us know that that he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me. When he leads you, Psalms 23 is a scripture that everybody, I believe everybody in the world knows. But do we really know the concept of it? Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do we really, really know in being deep in the Word of God, do we really, really know what that scripture means? Do we really, really know what that scripture really means? Amen. Matter of fact, do we really understand the first verse of that scripture? Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do we really understand that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? This means that if we are the sheep, we're considered in the eyes of God, we are the sheep. And a sheep needs a shepherd. A sheep need a leader, the shepherd. And if the Lord is your shepherd, you're not going to want for nothing because that shepherd is going to take care of you. That shepherd is going to see what you need as being the sheep. That's why Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 lets us know that if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things shall be added unto you. He knows what you have need of. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. But it is up to you to pursue him for the things that you need. Everything we need, whether you be saint or sinner, everything we need lies in Jesus Christ. Everything. You need a friend, he said he'll be a friend to stick it closer than a brother. You need a mother, he said he'll be a mother to the motherless. You need a father, you'll be a father to the fatherless. Ah, glory. Hallelujah. We have everything we need in Jesus, in the anointing. in the power of God, we as people need to understand, if we got the full knowledge of the power of God, we would not want for anything. If we would just believe by faith, just like the people in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood, she pursued. She knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I can get to Jesus, she had a pursuit in her. Above all the obstacles, she pursued him. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Even though a king said, don't pray, there ain't going to be no praying around here. If anybody prays to any other god, they're going to be cast into the lion's den. But Daniel pursued anyway. And when his faith was tried, God stepped in, and when they threw him in the lion, when they threw Daniel into the lion's den, he wasn't consumed by the lion. He used the lions for a mattress and a pillow, baby. Lions didn't eat him up when they were supposed to. God shut those lions' jaws. And he came out of that thing. The 3 Hebrew boys, another good example. They knew, they pursued God, and they knew, they kept that fire going. They kept the fire going, and they pursued God. And in their pursuit of God, the anointing of God took them to higher heights and deeper depths in him in faith, in their belief that God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Even when their faith was tried by King Nebuchadnezzar gave a decree that everybody in that nation, that when the sound of the music hit, they're supposed to bow to the image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. But there were 3 young men that stood for what they believed in, that pursued in their standing and still pursued. They were pursuing the anointing. They knew that anointing, they knew that the power of God was going to protect them. They knew that whatever they go through, God was going to be there and God was going to bring them out. Oh, King, that we believe that God's going to deliver us from your hand, no matter what you do to us. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he threw him into that fiery furnace. And when King Nebuchadnezzar looked inside that fiery furnace, he asked his counsel. Now I know, and I'm paraphrasing y'all, I know I threw 3 people in there, but there's a 4th person in there. There's a 4th person in there, and that 4th person looks like the Son of God. And he called the 3 Hebrew boys out of the fire first, and they came out. Not even smelling like smoke, not even burnt up, nothing. That's the power of God. That is the power. That's the power of God. And the Lord is letting us know that we must pursue that anointing every day. And when we say pursue the anointing and you're saved, this is basically what we're saying is go to higher heights in him. Let your mind grow in God. Get a greater understanding of the Word of God. And if you're unsaved, the pursuit of the anointing is get the Holy Ghost, in a nutshell. so that you might grow spiritually, so that you might understand the full knowledge of God. See, it's a mind thing. The Bible lets us know, in these last few minutes that I have, I want to show you something. When it comes to the pursuit in anything in God, whether it be the anointing, whether it be praise, whether it be whatever it might be, you got to have the mindset to do it. You got to have the mindset. I'm going to show you in the Word of God that you got to have the mindset. Because we came into this world with a worldly mindset. Because if we came into the world with a godly mindset, we wouldn't have no problems. But we came into this world with a carnal mindset. And so Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 let us know what to do, how to come out of that carnal mindset. Okay? So I'm going to read it to you. And it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in verse number 2, it lets us know that we got to have a godly mindset. We got to have a godly mindset to be able to live holy. Because holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We got to live holy. We got to be holy. Because it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? Which means, God, do whatever. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. My fleshly desires, what I want to do with my life is obsolete now. That's a living sacrifice. When you tell me to fast, I'm going to fast. When you tell me to pray, I'm going to pray. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take time out of my busy schedule just to talk to you, just to spend time with you, just to commune with you. Because there's sometimes, and I'm going to give you a good example, in the midnight hour, and this is for somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Lord gave me this. I don't know who I'm talking to, and I don't know who needs to hear this. But I keep seeing somebody tossing and turning. Lord is showing me that somebody, it's a young lady. I don't know who this is. You keep tossing and turning in the middle of the night. At the same time, every single night, you tossing and turning. You can't get back to sleep. You're trying to go to sleep, but you can't get back to sleep because you're tossing and turning. You wake up at the same time every night. Sis, that's your prayer time. Sis, that's your prayer time. Like I said, I don't know your name. I don't know who you are. I just see a young lady tossing and turning. And the Lord is showing me 3 a.m. Every time at 3 a.m. you toss and turn. I see your alarm clock. And it says 3 a.m. And I see you tossing and turning, trying to get like, oh, Lord, help me go to sleep. Help me go. That's your prayer time, sis. There's a man that's driving. I see you, bruh, in the spirit. You're going to work. You keep going to work. And you trying to take care of your family and all that, but you need more time with God. Those times when you're going to work, I see you in your car driving down the street getting ready to go to work. Those times when you in your car, I don't know who you are, but bruh, let me get on your level of the young people. Bruh, man, let me speak to you real. Let me holler at you real quick. Bruh, when you driving down the street, I'm going to need you to pray. Because you're letting the things of this world consume your time with God. You need to make time with God because it's going to help you and help your family. It's going to help you and it's going to help your family to grow stronger in God. It's going to help your children. I don't know who I'm talking to. It's a man and a woman. And they live. They not married to each other. It's two separate situations. But this man and this woman, two different situations, two different homes, two different lifestyles. But bruh and sis, y'all too. Bruh, when you're driving down the street, you don't always need to have your music on. These phones that we carry, got Bluetooth to them. Turn on the Bible. Listen to the Word of God on the way to work. Listen to the Word of God on the way to work. Sis, get up at 3 a.m. and pray. That is your prayer time. You wonder why you can't sleep. Lord is letting you know now that's your prayer time. That's the time that God wants to commune with you. You got children in the house. I don't know who I'm talking to. You got children in the house that you need to pray over. You got children, young children in the house that you need to pray over in the middle of the night. Get you a bottle of extra virgin olive oil. Have that prayed over. I don't know what state you live in. I keep seeing you two, this man and this woman. This woman got children in her house. And when they go off to school, they dealing with stuff. You, at 3 a.m., God is trying to wake you up, not just to pray for yourself, but pray over your children. Get up. There's a fight there. Young man, your family, pray over them. You are to lead your house. And I'm going to give you a good example in these last few minutes, and this is to everybody. This is not just to them. This is for everybody. Pray over your home. If you have children, pray over your children. This is a command from God. Because we are living in the last day. This is a warning from God. If you don't have any children in the home, your children are all grown up, so what? Don't matter. Get up and pray over your home. Pray over them like they were like they were still living in the home. If it's just you and your wife, man of God, woman of God, pray. Because we are living in the last days. And it's not just because we're living in the last days. This is a warning from God. God is soon to come, and the devil is trying to take out anybody he can. And there is a devil out there that is trying to come and consume people. And he will walk right up in your home if we allow it. And he'll bring spirits with him too. Pray over, I don't care if you live by yourself. I don't care if you pray over your home. From the front door to the back door, to from the ceiling to the floor, pray over it. every person that is on this network, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, pray over your home and pray over your family. You got a mother still in the land of the living, pray over. You got a sister and a brother in the land of the living, pray over. Pray over not just the people in your household, but pray over your extended family. Because there, I have witnessed in my own personal life, I have seen 3 members of my family pass in 1 year. And the devil is trying to take people out. And it ain't just with health issues. Sometimes it's with stress, work, all of that. Trying to take care of the house. You stressing with taking care of the house. Look, pray. Pray and seek the salvation of the Lord. It is time to stop stressing out. Because stress is a killer. For those that don't know it, stop letting stress deal with you, and you deal with it. You might say, well, Brother Adam, what do you mean by don't let stress deal with you, you deal with it? I'm going to tell you like I told my doctor, the disease you diagnosed me with, it will not beat me. I'm going to beat it. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to deal with it. We did a show a couple years ago, a year or two ago, said just deal with it. Just deal with it. Any issue that you have, just deal with it. And the way you deal with it, you pray and you fast and you seek God. Leave all your cares on the altar. And I'm going to say this to all of these preachers, to every preacher that is out here preaching and trying to get these young people in, I'm going to tell you one thing that you can give them that will lead them to Christ. Give them what they gave us when we was young. Tell them to come to the altar. Tell them to repent. Tell them to be baptized in Jesus' name. Tell them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Tell them to come and lay on the altar for a while. Your flesh is out of control. The only way that they'll be delivered is if they stay on the altar. Stay at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. Mary was so humble, and I didn't even get to the scripture, but Mary was so humble. She came to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears. And dried them with her hair because she was pursuing what God had for her. She was made whole. The woman with the issue of blood pursued God. And Jesus didn't even touch her, but she touched the hem of his garment. And guess what Jesus said to her? Your faith has made thee whole. So today, in these last few minutes that I have, I'm telling everybody, if you have the Holy Ghost today, continue to pursue the anointing so you can grow in God. Amen. Don't back down from what you've been taught. Don't step away from it, because the day you step away could be the day that you lose it. And those that don't have the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see Jesus. This is the only way to fulfill Romans 12, verse 1. This is the only way. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to have, and the reason why you got to have the Holy Ghost is that's that power that you need to live holy. Because like I said, the scripture said, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. I hope you got something out of this in Jesus' name. I pray that, and I also pray that you had a blessed Thanksgiving and a blessed holiday, because we're still in the holiday season now. We're about to go into the Christmas season. Amen. We got a couple more weeks, and this year will be done away with. Amen. So I pray that you have a very blessed week. Amen. Wherever you're listening to me from. Amen. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuttle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, where it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. And until next week, like my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since you can't see me because we're on the radio, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.